Thank you, Timothy, for leading those songs. So I titled this Bettering the World for God. And in going, reading through it, and Sarah listening to it and whatnot, she told me that the title doesn't seem to quite match what I'm saying. Now, and I think it does. I just think it's not what you think it is. If that makes sense. So, a week or so ago, I was talking politics with someone, and I was wondering why it seemed that there aren't many Christians in politics. And I know there's some out there, but it just seems like there aren't as many as there could be. And as a Christian, I feel, you know, shouldn't I strive to be in a position to lead my town, to lead my district, my state, or even my country? And to do so in a godlier manner than the people who are currently doing so? My reason being, in Romans 13, verse 1, it says, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. So if governing authorities are instituted by God, then why not, as a Christian, try to be more of a part of that? Our discussion sort of came down to this. If we are to, if at all possible, as it depends on us, live peaceably with all, that's Romans 12:18, and we are to be humble and servant-like just as Christ was, how can we actively seek a position in political office? How can we actively seek that power? I realize there are ways to serve in this capacity with much humility, but one should deeply have considered their motivations for seeking that power before doing so. Before joining the army, I was warned by another Christian currently serving in the military to not join lightly. It will make me more of what I already am inside, whether it was good or bad. It can draw out the best of us. It could draw out the worst. So in the military, I'm constantly fighting against pressures of my peers in the military, and I see how much I have to defend my faith. In a similar manner, I assume that politics is very much the same. Possibly worse, as politics is known for its corruption and scandal. And so there must be, I thought, a better way to better the world without towing that line of deceit and scandal. Shortly after returning from basic, I saw a motivational speech about making one's bed. Admiral McRaven's point in that speech was that in order to better the world, we first have to better ourselves. And so I thought, well, I thought of this sermon. How can I better the world for God? How can I do that if I'm not trying to be better for God myself? As a congregation, we've been aiming for better personal evangelism. At least that's kind of what I've gathered from it all. And at first I thought, how in the world am I going to have time for personal evangelism? Between studying for school and going to school and working at the gymnastics company and my weekends with the guard and then trying to balance like my own spiritual life along with that of my family, like how am I supposed to go and bring other people to God? I don't feel I have that time. And so what I thought was, I need to make good habits. I need to surround myself with people who will work alongside me. And I need to keep moving forward despite any failures that I have. So those are my 3 points to this sermon. So the first one being needing to make a habit. similar to what Admiral McRaven, his example of making the bed, I need to start my day with a simple task. His point was, if you can start the day and make your bed, you have completed the first task of the day. And in doing so, that will give you a small sense of pride and encourage you to complete another task and another task. So, I don't make my bed. You can ask Sarah. And while I should still probably try to do that for her sanity, there is an equally easy task that I can do in the morning that will better myself for God. I can read my Bible. Making a bed doesn't take a long time, maybe 5 minutes if you're trying to get those perfect hospital corners and a nice crisp, no wrinkles on top. Likewise, reading a few verses or a chapter in the morning will not take very long, and doing so, you will accomplish that first task of your day, and you will have that sense of pride to an encouragement to complete another task and another. The little things matter. Admiral McRaven, his point, part of his points in that little task is that if you can't accomplish this small task, how are you going to accomplish the big task? So if we can't accomplish a small thing in bettering ourselves spiritually, we won't be able to accomplish the bigger things. Starting your day with a quick reminder of who is most important and what he wants of you will help you more effectively reflect God's light to the world. But some days are rough. You can't seem to catch a break some days. And if by chance the only thing that you accomplish for God today or tomorrow, you can rest assured knowing that you started the day reading God's word and applying that to your heart. And you can flop on your bed knowing that you did accomplish something for God today. You remembered him and you tried to better yourself. And that is encouragement enough to start the day, the next day, in the same manner and pray for more success. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof and for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. So if you want to better the world for God, then start by bettering yourself for God. That way, you may be complete and equipped for every good work. Oftentimes, people view Christianity as rather personal religion. Yes, we are, in a sense, responsible for our actions and how we respond to God's message, but don't think for a second that you can do this alone. Dragon boats, I don't know if any of you have ever heard of those. My dad used to race dragon boats on the Fox River in Illinois. A dragon boat is a long canoe-like boat with a little dragon on the end of it. And they normally have teams of 10 to 50 people, depending on the size of the dragon boat. And the majority of the people use paddles to propel the boat forward. And then there is one person at the bow that is the drummer. They are there to keep beat for the people paddling. And then there is someone sitting at the back of the boat called the sweep, and they steer. They steer the boat. So in order for a team to win, you cannot rely on a single person. Everyone must paddle. A team with someone who does not follow the beat and relies on their own strength will cause the boat to accelerate slower and may push the boat off course. 1 Corinthians 12 says that we are all united and that we are one team in Christ. but that he gave some to be prophets, and others gifts and healing, and another faith and wisdom and knowledge, and others speaking in tongues, and so on and so forth. There were many gifts that God has given us, all of which he purposed to work as one, as a team, in the body of Christ. So likewise, you can't change this world by yourself. In Mark 6, we see Jesus sending out the disciples, but he didn't send them out alone. Instead, he sent them in pairs. If Jesus didn't send out even his own disciples alone, why do we think that we should be left alone to do our work? We need the kindness, encouragement, and help of friends, family, even strangers. We need their help. And of course, we need a strong drummer to keep us in time and a steady sweep to keep us on the right course. God has given us fellow paddlers in our families, both spiritual and physical. And even in those times that you might feel most alone, you might feel detached from your family, you might feel detached from the church. John 14, verse 15 through 17 says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you." Dragon boat races are not an easy race. I remember very vividly my dad's exhaustion after each race down the river. It is hard work trying to better the world for God. If you want to better the world for God, find people that will help you paddle. And listen to the beat that God has put forth, and let the Spirit guide you. Sometimes we fail in our efforts to do better, to better ourselves for the world. We prejudge other people and we don't bring the gospel to them because it's just not for them. Or we sin ourselves and we put God's name to shame. During some of my time at basic training in AIT, nearly every day drill sergeants would require us a task that was impossible to complete. They would have us clean the entire bay, and the bay is probably about twice as long as this auditorium is, and a little bit wider. We would have to sweep, mop, wax, and polish the floors, make everyone's bed clean inside their bunks, and make everything look perfect. We would dust the windowsills. We'd have to clean both bathrooms, sweep and mop, including the showers, clean the toilets, clean the mirror, everything, all in a Sunday afternoon between lunch and dinner. And if we didn't get that done, there was punishment. They would say, if you can't keep your own house clean, then move out. So we would have to pack up all of our clothes, all of our gear, into the three bags that we had, and carry them downstairs, outside, and into the tire pit. And we had 5 minutes to do so. So there is 100 people in each bay having to cram down crowded stairwells with all of their stuff in 5 minutes. That was an impossible task, and we never got that one done on time either. And so, there was another punishment. We would have to then low crawl in the pit about 100 meters down and back several times until the drill sergeants got tired of watching us crawl. So during the first few weeks, I would get really frustrated, but not at myself for not being able to complete the task, and not necessarily at the other people who were completing the task really slowly. I was frustrated with the drill sergeants for holding up these impossible standards that they knew we couldn't, that we could not complete. And then they would punish us for not completing the impossible. That was frustrating, to say the least. However, I had this habit that I started shortly before basic training. I would read my Bible every day. And most of that was just to calm my nerves, because I was freaking out. But I found peace and stability in God's Word. And that's mostly what got me through it all. My favorite verse during that time was Jeremiah 29:11, which says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." And as time passed in BASIC, I read more of God's word and I realized something about what the drill sergeants were doing to us. See, Romans 3 says that there's no distinction among mankind. Everyone sins. All have fallen short of the glory of God. And in Luke 17, Jesus says that temptation is inevitable. So you're going to face temptation. And back in Romans 3, where Paul just said that all of us have failed, he says that even though we have sinned, everyone can be justified by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ. So as me and my fellow soldiers continue to fail consequently get punished, we began to learn that these tests weren't about eventually completing them. It was about how we reacted to and handled our failures. Did we bicker with one another and blame each other and then complain about the punishment that we had and wail out, you know, complaints to the drill sergeants? Or did we see what maybe we could have done better and just stick with the punishment that we've been given and push it out and suffer in silence? We are going to fail in trying to be better for God, in trying to better the world for God. We will make mistakes. We will get caught up in sin and fall short. And it may happen every day. But how do we handle that failure? If we want to better the world for God, we need to show them how God wants us to react to sin. And not just the sins of others, because that's one reaction, but our own sin. How do we react to that? What do I do and where do I look when I sin? Am I angry at myself, at God for letting this temptation befall me? No matter how you prepare or how you perform, you still might end up low crawling in a pit. You will sin against your friends, your family, and you may sin against God. And there might be physical consequences here on earth. What God wants from us and what we need to show the world is when we mess up and sin against God, we need our hearts to break and we need them to ache. We need to repent of our sins and turn back to God, seeking forgiveness for our actions. Taking responsibility for our actions and admitting to our faults and moving forward to be more Christ-like, that's one of the best things that we can do to make this world better. The average American will meet approximately 10,000 people in their lifetime. Think of all the lives that you can touch. Even if it's only them seeing you react to your failure, seeing what you do when you sin, and how you treat others when they sin. Our actions often speak louder than our words. So start your day with God's word. And let that encourage you to do more throughout the day. Talk to your friends, your coworkers, and strangers on your commute to school or work. And tell them about what the Lord has done for you, even if it's a small blessing. Like, I woke up this morning and I had a safe ride into work. Find people that will help you and that will be with you, that will help you make the world better for God. Surround yourself with people who will paddle with you. And in doing so, you will reach more people and better yourself for God's work. Finally, when you fail and sin, and when you fall short, repent and move forward. When your friends and family and when strangers sin against you, forgive them as the Lord has forgiven you and show them God's loving kindness. Help better the world for God's glory by first making sure that you are growing towards God and bettering yourself in God's work and love. And in doing so, encourage one another and those around you to do the same. For God so loved this world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And it's up to us to plant God's seed. Just like the sower from the parable of the sower, he spread the word everywhere he walked. He spread it on the ground that he was walking on. He spread it on rocky soil, in the thorns. And some of it may land on good soil. And God will increase their faith. I hope that this has encouraged you to focus on what you can do better to better God's world, to better this world for God. And I pray that we will all leave here ready to make the changes that we need to make to better ourselves so that we may be shining lights in a dark world. If you have any needs that we can help you with here, whether it's prayers of the congregation or if you need to devote your life to God through baptism, please come forward as we stand and sing.